Amen. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Before you grab a seat, can you just turn and say hi to a couple people around you? Then go ahead and grab a seat this morning. It's great to see all of you here. If you are online with us today, please say good morning in the live chat as well. Just let everyone know that you are there. And I'm excited to get into today's message today. I was really blessed by our opening worship time as well. I pray that you were as well, and that we can continue just seeking after God and responding to His grace here this morning. If you can open up with me to Acts chapter 10, if you've got your Bible on your phone or a paper Bible, whatever you've got with you today, that would be great. And we're going to actually be starting a new series today. I mentioned it last week, but we're going to be able to get into it here this morning. And I think the reason I really felt led to kind of go through this coming month is I've been reflecting a lot on how the past year and a half or so has changed us and how we want to kind of move forward now from this, you know, pandemic season that's, of course, still ongoing, still affecting us in a lot of ways. But when you think about like over the past year and a half, there are a lot of things that changed for us very rapidly that we've had to adjust to. Like for instance, we as a culture have started to create a lot of distance between ourselves and others over the past year, right? Like where normally, I mean, this has been really hard, especially for some of you who are extroverts. You're like, I need people. But then it seems like there's this wall between you and other people, right? Or like, think about some of those experiences you've had over the past year and a half. Like you go to the store and you're waiting in line at the store and they got the little X on the ground, right? And then maybe you can hear like the person behind you is not on their X. Right? Like maybe you can hear their voice or you hear their breathing and you're like, oh, like you can tell they're too close behind you. You know, someone comes to your door and you feel like you got to put a hazmat suit on to answer the door, right? Like you have some of those things, you're like, I need distance. I need personal space, 6 feet at least, right? And we kind of get into that mindset and there's been this distance between ourselves and other people. Now on the flip side, an interesting thing that many people have shared with me was that in that kind of isolation and distance and things shutting down and all of that, some people have shared with me that they felt closer to God than they ever had before during this pandemic. Like, man, nothing's going on. I can't see anybody. I can't do anything. Like, I've got all this time and space in my life. And maybe feeling some anxiety, maybe feeling some depression, maybe feeling that loneliness and like, okay, God, I'm going to turn to you. So many people have shared with me now, like, wow, I really feel closer to God now during this pandemic. And now, once again, as vaccines are rolling out and things are changing in society, you know, now we're getting ready for another change. And I wonder how we're going to handle that. I wonder what we're going to do when we're used to now being so separate from people. How are we going to start to re-engage with people? When maybe you were closer to God because nothing was going on, now you're getting busier, and where's God? I'm wondering about how we're going to handle that as a church, as a spiritual family, and that's why we're going into this series we're starting today called Make Room. We're going into this series because everything that we do in the Christian life is really a response to the grace of God. And over the past several months now, we've been going through this series on Galatians. We've been talking about the grace and mercy of God, something we could never earn, but it's been freely given to us. And I'm wondering, are we going to be able to respond to the grace and mercy of God by making room for Him in our lives because He made room for us? You know, something that, a verse that we're not going over today, but it's been resonating in my mind recently is John 14, verse 2, where Jesus says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to take you home to my Father. God Himself has made room for us in His heavenly kingdom, in his eternal home. He has made room for us. Now, how do we respond to that? And we're going to start today with part one, which we're going to call A Place to Call Home. That we want to create this space in our lives where we have room for God and room for others, where we make this spiritual home around us and in our schedules and in our spaces, also that we're living in that communion with God and others that really represents the kingdom of God in our lives. So one thing for today is to make room to welcome God and others into your life. To make room to welcome God and others into your life. If you would, real quick, turn to someone next to you again and say, you are welcome in my life. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and read for us the beginning of our passage today. I would encourage you to actually maybe afterward go back and read all of Acts 10. We're going to read some chunks of it today. We're not going to have time to read all of it. There's a lot going on in this story, but I'm going to read Acts 10 verses 1 to 13 to get us started this morning. I'll read this for us. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Stop there. Let me pray for us as we've heard the word of God. Lord, we invite you to come and speak to us today. We're here, Lord, as we were talking about, as Maisha was leading us in the end of our closing worship, we're here, God, not to just go through the motions of singing some songs, hearing a message, go on our way, but God, we want to meet you. We want to hear from you. We want to encounter you, God. We want you to speak to us. So, Lord, may our hearts be open. May our minds be ready to hear, receive, understand. Lord, may our whole lives be ready to respond and live out what it is that we hear from you today. Come and bless us through your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we start this story here, we're looking at the first chunk of this story about Peter and Cornelius. Some of you might be familiar with this here. And what I want us to notice, there's a lot in this story, but what I want us to notice to begin with is how both of these people had room for God in their lives. They had room for God in their lives. Notice a few things here. First, we see here Cornelius's devotion in this passage, which is really interesting. I actually am so glad that Cornelius is in this passage and he's in the Bible and he's in this story, because it'd be very easy for us to just look at Peter, as we will in just a second, and be like, oh, well, he's an apostle. Of course he's got room for God in his life. Yeah, he's one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Like, of course he's got room for God in his life. But Cornelius, he's a normal guy. He's got a job. He's got a career. In fact, his role as a centurion, he's similar to like an army captain. Okay, if you want to think about like a rank in the military, and he has between 300 and 600 soldiers who he is commanding, who are probably coming to him all day long with different questions, and he's having to give them orders and supervise and oversee them, and he's having to write letters back and forth to Rome and get the latest military directives. He's got all that going on in his life. Right? In the midst of that, we see that he is described as devout. Now, that's interesting. It says that he is basically really committed to God, really devoted to God, and that's in spite of the fact that he's not actually Jewish. Okay, he's not Jewish by ethnicity. He's most likely from, it says he's part of the Italian cohort, so he may be actually Italian. He's Roman citizen, right? So we don't know a whole lot about him, but he's not Jewish by birth. He's also not officially a Jewish convert. If he was what we would call a proselyte of Judaism, then Peter wouldn't have minded hanging out with him. There wouldn't be an issue that we're going to see later. So he's not actually a proselyte of Judaism. And yet he is praying to the one true creator God. And he's living in this way as a devotion to God, right? We see different areas of his life all devoted to God, right? We see like his family. It says with his whole household, his whole family is devoted to God. His finances as well. So he gave alms generously. He's a very generous person and has his possessions under the lordship of God. Also in his prayers, he prayed continually throughout the day. Like how many people do you know pray continually? Right? This guy's praying all the time. It's just part of his life, right? So this is Cornelius and his devotion to God, how he's making room for God in his life. And then we move to Peter. And Peter has his own devotion to God as well, Peter's devotion, right? And one thing I want you to notice here, and we're going to reflect on this a little bit later, but Peter has given specific space and time to God in his life. Like, he has this space in his life. He's gone up on the housetop, right? Now, I don't think any of us go up on our roofs to spend time with the Lord. If you do, take a picture and send it back and, like, let me know, okay? I would love to see that. That is not my favorite place to spend time with God, but for Peter and in that time and culture, the rooftop might be a place where you go up to kind of spend some time alone. There might be a canopy up there or something to get some shade in the middle of the day. And we notice he's going up there on the housetop. He's doing this at the sixth hour, which is noon, okay? So he's going up there at noon, and this is maybe not a time that is typical, necessarily, to go up and pray, but it's a time that he has set aside. He's going up to spend some time with God and pray. And notice it's different from Cornelius's time, too. Cornelius was praying at the ninth hour when he had his own time with the Lord. That was at 3 p.m., okay? So both of these guys, they've got some devotion to God in their lives. They're making this space, and basically they both have this room to encounter God, right? They've set up their lives. They've put this time and space with their family, with their finances, with everything that they do, with their prayers. They've given specific space and time. They're doing all of this. And as a result of that, now they have this encounter with God. They both have life-changing encounters with God because of their devotion to him. And as we notice that here, there are these encounters with different angels, visions, all of that. I think we have a couple questions that we can reflect on here today. And the first thing I want to ask you to reflect on is, how is your whole life devoted to God? How is your whole life devoted to God? I think for many of us, we look at a story like this and we're like, man, I would love to see a vision from God like that. I'd love to like see some sort of like trance or vision. I'd love to have an angel just visiting me. God, I want you to speak directly to me, right? We've all got stuff we want that for. God, what am I supposed to do with my career? God, should I be with that girl or that girl or that guy or that guy? God, should I, you know, we've got all these questions and we want God to speak directly to us. Right, we would all love that. But the question comes to us, how is your whole life devoted to God? Many of us want the revelation, we want the answer to prayer, we want the voice from heaven. But are we devoting ourselves completely to God? And I must mention, I shared this earlier, everything we do in the Christian life is a response to the grace of God. So this is not about earning something. It's not about justifying yourself that, like, oh, I gave enough, I prayed enough, I did whatever enough. It's about loving God. It's about making God a priority in our lives. It's about intimacy with him. It's about commitment to him. And if we were just to look at our lives, look at all those different ways that we arrange ourselves and order our lives, if you were to look at it, if someone else were to look at it, could they see your devotion to God? Second question I want to ask you to reflect on today is, when and where do you make room for God in your life? When and where do you make room for God in your life? We see this for both Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius, he seems to be just praying all the time. Peter's a step down, right? Peter, he's just got noon on the roof. But both of them, they've got time and place that they're committed to God, that they are spending time with him. When and where do you make room for God? I'll tell you what that's looked like for me recently. Recently, I've been mostly spending time with God on my couch in my family room, which looks like this, nothing special. There's nothing dramatic about this space. You can see I've got my Bible and my journal there. That's my wife has a journal and a devotional book there too. We got some pictures on the wall. But I just sit here. I just sit here and I open up my Bible in the morning. Usually I get, you know, our family gets up, I get some coffee, we kind of get the day going, and then that's my time when I feel is most conducive for me before I get started with other meetings, before I get busy with other work. Say, God, this is going to be my time and space that I set apart for you, and this is where I'm going to meet with you. Now, I really want you to think about this. Because I want to encourage you to have something that is consistent, even a place that is consistent, because, you know, that makes a difference. Like, how many of you, don't raise your hand, But how many of you, you walk into the bathroom to wash your hands and suddenly you have to pee? Right? Like, your body knows. You go into a certain place and you're like, okay, suddenly I didn't think I would have to pee, but suddenly I do. Because your body is just kind of like, okay, I go into that space and this is what I do. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a space in your life and a time in your life where you go in, sit down, and you're like, I need to pray. Suddenly I need to pray because I just sat down in this space. Suddenly I need to read the Bible because I just sat down here. Suddenly I just know, oh, it's that time of day. Just like, oh, it's that time of day. I need to eat lunch. It's that time of day. I need to brush my teeth. It's that time of day. I need to pray. It's that time of day. I need to spend time in the Word of God. Wouldn't it be awesome to have that kind of space? That kind of time where you're like, okay, that's devoted to God, and I'm so committed to that. That's so part of the rhythms of my life that, like, I'm just in that groove. Wouldn't that be amazing? And this is the kind of life, the kind of relationship with God that Peter and Cornelius had fostered that led not only to them encountering God personally in a powerful way, but then that encounter with God also led to a life-changing encounter with others. And that's what we're going to see as we finish today's passage, at least what we're going to read. I'm going to read a few chunks to you right now. I'm going to read verse 14 to 17, 24 to 27, and 38 to 41. Again, please go back and read that later because that'll be helpful just to read the whole chapter. Let me read this for us and we'll continue here. It says, "But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice came to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' As he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered." Skipping to verse 38, Peter said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." All right, so as the story continues, you see how it plays out here. Again, there's a lot more going on in the passages around it, but you'll notice that now, these two different people who each made room for God in their lives, they've now, in a divinely orchestrated way, been brought together, and here we see that they're making room for guests, room for new people in their lives. And think about that with me for a second. I'm going to actually ask you to reflect on this and to share with one another in just a moment. But there is something very powerful about experiencing hospitality from other people. There's something very powerful about that. I've experienced that in so many different ways in my life, but to bring back one specific instance which made all the difference in me coming to know Christ as my own Savior was back when I was a freshman in college. A friend of mine named Jessica, who I'd grown up with since seventh grade, we've known each other many years, a friend of mine invited me to visit her life group. It's part of this church. And I was very hesitant at first. I've shared that story other times, but I eventually agreed to go. And I remember my friend and I, we met up, and we went to the Michigan Union to room 2105B in the Michigan Union. I don't know if that room even still exists because I know everything got renovated. I haven't been in there since then. But we went there to room 2105B, and I walk in, and the room is just packed with people. That life group was like 40-some people. And so I walk in, and like instantly, like 10 people all gather around me to greet me. And like everyone's welcoming me. Everyone's got a smile on their face. Everyone's happy to see me. And I'd met several of them before, just through friendship, seeing on campus and whatnot. And so I'm like, oh man, I instantly feel so warm, so welcome. And we sit down, we do Bible study. I didn't know how to pray. So they're like, hey, it's okay. We're just gonna pray for you. And then afterward, we went down for refreshments. We weren't allowed to have refreshments in that room. So we went downstairs to another room and we got some refreshments out and I started eating. And I was like, hey, who should I pay for the food? And they were like, oh, no, you don't have to pay for this. This is just enjoy. I was like, whoa, really? I come from a background where everyone pays their own way. Nothing's free. And so I'm like, man, someone wants to, like, give me free food? What's up with this? And I was so welcomed, so loved that ended up being within, like, another week later was when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, partly because I experienced the love of God through that hospitality, through that friendship, through that love, through that generosity. And, like, think about the impact that can make on someone's life, that they might even remember a room like 2105B in the Michigan Union 21 years later. Right? Like, that. I don't have a good memory, okay? But that stuck with me because that meant something. So can you real quick turn to somebody next to you? I'm going to give you 90 seconds. Okay, can you share who invited you into the family of God and where was it? Now, for some of you, you might have a, like, oh, man, that was like when I was a kid. You might not have a lot of details. That's okay. Share whatever you can. If you're online, please drop that in the chat. I'm going to give you 90 seconds to share with somebody next to you, and then we'll keep going after that. Who invited you into the family of God? Where was that?
Here I am, with all my intentions, all my obsessions, I wanna lay them all down in your hands. Only your love is vital. Though I'm not entitled, still you call me your child. But God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. Oh, God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. Yeah, I give you control. I've had plans. They've been shattered and broken.
A few more seconds.
There's been things I have hoped in. They fell through my hands. But you have played.
All right. I have no idea if that was 90 seconds or not, actually. I should have set myself a little timer. Hopefully it was enough time to share with somebody next to you. Real quick, I'm just actually curious. For how many of you was that a member of your family who invited you into the family of God, shared the gospel with you? Can I say real quick? Okay, yeah, good number. How many of you was that a friend? Just a friend, someone else in your life? Okay, yeah, good number too. How many of you was it like a spiritual leader? Someone like that? Okay, great. A few of you as well. Awesome. Yeah, there could be so many different people. Isn't that really good to remember that? To share that? Wasn't that something so meaningful and significant for you? Wouldn't you love to be that person for somebody else? Like that's a joy. That's such a joy. And when we look at this here, like making room for guests, that's what that's about. Right? You look at this story here, you see how it unfolds, and the first thing we actually need to kind of deal with are some of Peter's barriers to hospitality that he has to deal with. Right? Now, these are real quick here, what we need to understand in this story is that for Peter, he'd been raised his entire life to see certain kinds of food as unclean and certain kinds of people as unclean, right? And he'd been taught his whole life, hey, we don't associate with people like that, like those people, whoever those people are, Okay, he had been taught that his entire life. And this is really interesting because he's still struggling with this, even though he, as one of Jesus' followers, was around when Jesus said, hey, don't think like that anymore. Don't live like that anymore. Like Mark 7, 14 to 15, and Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Right, and Mark goes on later to say this is when Jesus declared all foods clean. Right, Jesus has been trying to tell his followers, hey, you're not supposed to live like that anymore, where you just see other people as unclean, certain foods as unclean. Like that's not what your concern is anymore. But I don't know, any of you ever had God try to speak to you about something before and you didn't get it the first time? Has that ever happened before? Right, like Peter's that way. Okay, Peter's a little bit dense, just like you and me. He takes some time to kind of take in and respond to God. And so God's speaking to Peter here, like through this vision. And Peter's like, oh, by no means, Lord. He's trying to be so holy. And God's like, get over it. Like, you're living in the grace of God. You're living in the new covenant. I died on the cross for you, Peter. Get with it. Like, but Peter's like, oh, no, I'm so slow. I need to be holy. Right? So Peter's got this stuff in his life. Right? He's got this, he's got some issues. And when you see him now, there are some things I want to ask us to reflect on too, to ask what are some barriers to hospitality that we struggle with. And I'm going to share three S's with you. There could be other things too. The first thing, like Peter, could be self-righteousness. That is a real thing for some of us, maybe all of us in different ways. We might tend to look at other people and say, well, they in some way are not good enough, are not worthy enough, and I am. I've served God enough, I know the Bible well enough, I pray enough, I do all those things that may be very good things, but we're using that to say, this is what makes me righteous, this is what makes me worthy before God. And anyone who doesn't meet those standards, maybe it's behavioral standards, maybe it's a certain culture you don't like associating with. Maybe it's something else where you're just like, man, that person, oh, I don't want to be around that person. And we might have a self-righteous attitude that keeps us from actually welcoming somebody in and making space for them in our lives. That self-righteousness could be very real. Political self-righteousness, I think, is a big problem for the church today. It's a big problem. We look at someone who looks or votes differently than looks at the world or votes differently than us, and we're like, man, I don't want anything to do with that person. I'm certainly not going to invite them to my home or to my life group or whatever. Got to deal with that. Second S is just selfishness. Just selfishness. Like, this is my time. This is my money. This is like just my life, and I don't want to give up any of that for the sake of others. I don't want to be like Cornelius. I don't want to be welcoming people to my house all the time. I don't want to be spending my money buying them food all the time. I don't want to be doing all of that. This is my life, my time, my space, my Netflix, my whatever. Get away. Right? Don't we all have some of that in our hearts? I do. I want my time, I want my space, and that sometimes keeps me from welcoming others into my life and sharing the love of God with them. I think that's actually particularly an issue when we think about this coming fall season. The month of September is coming very quickly. Some of you who are students here in this room, college students, you're going to have an opportunity to reach out to new students who are coming to this campus. You're like, oh, I don't want to take the time to participate in OCR, Operation Campus Reach. I don't have time to meet all those new international students coming even earlier than that for IOCR. Man, I don't have time for that. I don't want that. Some of us who are not students anymore, we're like, they're going to clog the roads. They're going to be running across the street in front of my car. Like, they're so loud and irritating. I'm like, oh, gosh, get away. Like, can't you just do online school still? Right? Don't we have that attitude sometimes? And it's just selfishness. Isn't it? It's just selfishness. So we should be honest with that. We should bring that before God, say, God, show me your heart. Third one, self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. Now, I think a lot of us, we think of self-sufficiency as like, yeah, I can do it.
I've got all the answers. I know exactly how to present the gospel to this person. I am the best host in the world. Everyone loves my cheese platter. Like, I'm, you know, maybe that's you, but, you know, saying I can't do it, I don't have the answers, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, that's self-sufficiency too. It's the same thing. And I think for many of us, we're actually trapped in that side of self-sufficiency. We're trapped by thinking, I don't think I'm good enough. My life isn't good enough. I'm not a good enough witness. I don't have everything figured out enough. I'm not happy all the time. I struggle a lot. Like, I can't share the gospel with someone. I can't invite someone into the family of God. And that self-sufficiency is going to stop us before we ever get started. Don't we have these things in our hearts? Don't we have these things running through our minds constantly that are these barriers to us being able to welcome people into the family of God? And the amazing thing is, like, you look at this story, you see God's already working in people in ways we don't even know. Like in Cornelius, right? Peter doesn't know that God's working in Cornelius's life. All he knows is that he saw a vision around lunchtime and some people showed up to take him to Joppa, take him to Caesarea, right? Like, he doesn't know. But God's working behind it all, orchestrating this, putting things together. God is orchestrating that for people in your life. He's working in their lives in ways we can't see yet. We need to believe that. What we see after Peter overcomes these barriers to hospitality, then we see Cornelius' faith and hospitality. We see how he is someone like notice his faith here. It says Cornelius was expecting them. Like, can you imagine that? Cornelius has an angel visit him. He has this vision, right? And then he talks to his servants and one of his soldiers and says, hey, go find this guy. I had a vision that said he would be there. Bring him back. And then Cornelius is so confident of this, he calls together all his family and friends, believing that they're going to show up. Like, how much of a fool is Cornelius going to seem if they don't show? What an idiot he's going to be, right? I mean, his family and friends are going to be like, oh, yeah, Cornelius, yeah, Peter's coming. Peter's coming, Cornelius. Yeah, he is, right? Like, he's going to be a laughing stock of his family, of the community, of his whole regiment. His own soldiers are probably going to laugh him down, right? But he has such faith. God, if you are orchestrating this, if you are putting this together, then God, I'm going to trust that it will happen. And then Cornelius, in his hospitality, he not only welcomes Peter. I think for some of us, we might be like, okay, Peter's coming. Okay, I'm going to have a personal meeting with Peter. But Cornelius says, no, I don't just want to hear from Peter myself. I want my family and friends to. So I'm going to invite all of them over. We're going to have a big party. I'm going to make food for all of them. And we're going to chill and hang out till Peter shows up. It's going to be great. And then we're all going to get to hear from this guy. See, Peter considered that it wasn't enough just for him to hear God's word, to hear the good news. He wanted everyone he loved to hear the good news as well. Cornelius is the perfect picture of a person of peace that Jesus sent out his disciples to go. He said, go look for a person of peace. Look for someone who welcomes you into their home. Look for someone who will also invite their family and friends to come hear the word of God. Cornelius is like exactly that guy. He's exactly that guy. He has this faith and hospitality that opens up here an opportunity to proclaim the good news. An opportunity to proclaim the good news. And here we see Peter shared the story of Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. He shares all of that, and that is the good news, not only to them, but to us. This is where it all starts for us, that we know Jesus lived and died and rose again, also that we could be made alive for all of eternity, and not just eternal life, but eternal life in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, in the household of God, that now we are restored as God's children, welcome to his eternal banquet table, there to enjoy everything he's prepared for us for all of eternity, not because of anything we have done, but exactly in spite of what we have done, because we are completely unworthy of the grace of God. And when we reflect on that, when we take all of that in, we realize, wow, God, how gracious are you that now we get the opportunity to invite others into our lives, to invite others into the kingdom of God, to invite others to hear the gospel message, all because, God, you didn't wait for us to come knocking at your door. We see that Jesus actually invited himself into our lives. He didn't wait for us. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Brothers and sisters, today, this is what Christ has done for us and what he still continually does. I wonder for some of us today, maybe Jesus is actually knocking on the door and he's saying, "I want to come in. Will you make some space in your life for me? Will you make some time and space for me? Will you devote this area of your life to me? Because I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to walk through this life with you. I want to give you the joy of inviting others to meet me. Will you make some time and space for them? Will you make room for some guests, for some new people in your life?" And yes, still be careful. I think Jesus would be totally cool. He'd be like, "Yeah, still wear a mask. It's cool. Like, you know, Jesus is okay." But is he knocking on your door today saying, "Hey, I want to be with you and I want others to come and meet me because they know you"? And for some of us here, whether here in the person, whether online today, there may be some of us that Jesus is actually inviting himself into your life for the first time. And maybe you're even wondering, why are these people I've been meeting so generous, so full of love, so patient, so welcoming, so hospitable? Why do I see that in these people? And why, when I hear this message that the Son of God came to this world to live and die for me and rise again, why does something burn inside of me? Why is it that I feel drawn to this message? Maybe, just maybe, it is because the Son of God himself is still right now today knocking on the door of your heart saying, "I want to come and be with you, live with you, be in your life while I'm preparing that heavenly home for you." I wonder today if that is the work that God is trying to do in us so that we can live in the grace of God every day and invite others into that as well. And that's that one thing I shared with you at the beginning, to make room to welcome God and others into your life. Make room to welcome God and others into your life. And as we reflect on that here, as we close out, I want to share some next steps with you today. And I want to ask you to make these very specific and practical and tangible as best as you can. Again, it's not about earning anything from God. It's not about proving anything, about avoiding judgment, about any of that. It's about just a response to the grace and love of God. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to prioritize and schedule time and space for God. Prioritize and schedule time and space for God. I have no idea who said this, but I heard this sometime in the past. This phrase, "Show me your schedule and I'll show you your future." Show me your schedule and I'll show you your future. Some of you are like, that's good. It's not the word of God. It's just some saying. But I believe it holds truth. Whatever it is that you prioritize, that is what you truly value, and that is what's going to shape your life. And so think about that. I asked that question earlier. How is your life devoted to God? Where is the time and space that you spend with God? Can you actually put that in your schedule? Have that time, have that space where, like, you go in, you sit down in that place, you're like, "Yep, it's time to pray, time to spend time in the Word of God, time to meet with God." Have that in your life and actually put that on your schedule somewhere so that you know, okay, this is a priority. This is the time I'm making for God because I want to hear from him. I want to be in communion with him. Second thing I want to encourage you with, and we wanted to find something that's very practical and very specific we could do together as a church, is prepare the tea center, this space, to host our guests. We're going to do that 2 Saturdays coming up, August 14th at 1 p.m. We have I'm very thankful for many people who have tried to keep the tea center up, tried to keep us going during the pandemic, but there's a lot of stuff that now we need to do to get ready to host some guests this fall season. We got a lot of work to do outside. We got a lot of cleaning to do in here. We said, hey, let's just set a time. Let's just gather whoever can come on that day, and let's do everything we can to try to make this a great space for people to come in and meet God and meet God's family and experience the love of God together. And so if you can, put that on your calendar. Put it in right now. Say, hey, yeah, let's get together. Let's do it together. Let's prepare this space and serve together. I believe it's going to be a great time to not only serve, but connect with each other as well. Connect with people maybe you don't normally get to see or interact with. So please put that on your calendar. And then thirdly, is plan opportunities for hospitality. Plan opportunities for hospitality. I think for a lot of us, again, we've been in this space where we're just keeping everyone at a distance. Many of us have also now that restrictions are dropping a little bit, maybe you're vaccinated, maybe you have some friends you hang out with, you're like, man, I just want to hang out with my friends. I haven't gotten to see them. I haven't gotten to do much with them over the past year and a half. I really just want to be with my friends. I just want to be with my family. I just want to be with people that I know. And I understand that. I get that. I feel that too. I'm an introvert. I love just being with the people I feel comfortable with. But I want to encourage you, again, if this is something that is so clear in the Word of God, so clearly demonstrated, so clearly encouraged, so clearly a reflection of the love of God for us, could you actually take some time and say, you know what? I'm going to save this one evening a week, and I'm going to use that to maybe hang out with a coworker after work. I'm going to use that to invite another family over to my house. I'm going to use that to catch up with a friend who I haven't seen in a while. I'm going to use that to meet up with someone who I know doesn't know Jesus yet. Maybe you can't do once a week. Maybe it's even once a month. Once a month, make that a minimum. Like just set it in your calendar. Say, okay, the Tuesday of the third week of each month, that is my time. But put something there. Say, okay, this is a priority for me. This is something I'm going to plan in. This is something I'm going to make there because I believe God has called me as a response to His grace, a response to His love, a response to His kindness toward me, to extend that to others who don't yet know the love and grace of God. Can we stand together? We'll spend some time in response today. And as we stand together here, I feel like this today's message is kind of a big turn from what the last 3 months or so has felt like. Like the past 3 months, we've been just focusing in on that book of Galatians, just all grace, 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 and like just receiving, just knowing that that's not something we earn, but we just live in the grace of God. And today now we're talking about some practicals. We're talking about making room in our life. We're talking about making room for others. We're talking about all these specific things. But brothers and sisters, it always still comes back to grace. Can you turn to someone next to you and say, it's always about grace. It is always about the grace and mercy of our God. In fact, here, if you'll just bow your head with me for a moment, for just a moment, I want to ask you once again to reflect on the work of Jesus Christ for you, the promise of God for you, the love of God extended to you and to me, that while we were still sinners, while we had run away from God, we'd run away from home, we'd spat in the face of the God who created us, disobeying Him, dishonoring Him, saying, God, we want nothing to do with You. We had gone our own way, and yet God, in His infinite love and mercy, chose to send His Son Jesus into our lives. He invited Himself back into our lives. He came knocking on the door. And He gave Himself, dying, taking our place, paying for our sins, covering our shame. He did that all so that we could now be welcomed back into the family of God, welcomed into that eternal home, welcomed back into fellowship with Jesus every day of our lives in the here and now. When we reflect on that, brothers and sisters, when we reflect on the amazing love and grace of God, how do you want to respond to Him? How do you want to live in light of His grace? What kind of love wells up in your heart for the Savior who gave Himself for you? That is what this is all about. And so for the next minute or so, I want to just give you a short time personally to respond to God and His grace. And can you just offer yourself to him? Say, God, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the grace poured out for me in Jesus Christ. God, I offer myself back to you. God, help me to make room for you in my life. God, help me to give you my whole heart, to give you everything that I have, to give you my family, to give you my friendships, to give you my finances, to give you everything that I have, everything that I am. God, I want to offer myself back to you in response to your grace and mercy. After we prayed for a short time, we're just going to respond in worship. We're going to come and seek after God together. And let's really respond to God today saying, Lord, I want you to come and take your place in my life. I want you to be the center of everything. I want to devote everything to you. I want you to be my all in all. Let's come to him and pray together that way for the next minute or so. And then we'll continue to respond in worship after that. Let's pray together, brothers and sisters.